Okay, we continue in the middle of Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. The Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa that is giving us Beis Hillel's opinion regarding the Kriya Shema. Beis Hillel Omrim. Beis Hillel says, Omdim Vakorim. Okay, so we can stand when saying the Shema. Yoshim Vakorim. You can be sitting while saying the Shema. Umatim v'karin, you could be lying down when reciting the Shema. Holchim v'derech v'karin, you could be going on the road and read. Okay, we'll see later on. If you are walking, it's preferable to pause and stand in your place during the first line of the Shema, because it's difficult to concentrate, but you could still say the Shema. Osim b'malachton v'karin, you can be doing your work and you can read, and it doesn't matter what position you're in. We'll see there's exceptions later on. So basically any position. You can say the Shema in any position, which is Beis Hillel's position. Okay. Now we have an interesting story where people are trying to make a point of things. Umaisa Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is a story with the two rabbis, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Shahoya Mesubim B'Makan Echad. They were resting in a certain place at night. Okay. So they were resting. In other words, they were sitting in a chair, whatever. So it's night. So it's time to say the nighttime Kriya Shema. Okay. So therefore, according to Shammai, what do you have to do?
Light up.
Light up. Gotta light up. According to Hillel, you can do whatever you want. Okay. Vahoya Rabbi Shmuel Mota. So Rabbi Shmuel, lie down. Went out of his way to lie down. So that seems to indicate he was following Beis Shammai's position. For Elazar ben Azariah, he saw kuf. And then Rabbi Azariah, he got up. He stood up. Okay. Okay, that's the end of that. Next morning, it's time to say the morning Shema. Kivin shigiyas man kriya Shema. When it's time to... I'm sorry. So now when it came time to recite the evening Shema, Hita Rav Elazar. Okay, Rav Elazar. I'm sorry. Rav, this was before.
They were just lying down.
That was beforehand. It was beforehand. So let me do that again. Rav Yishmael, before the time of Shema, Rav Elazar was lying down. Rav Elazar was standing up. Now, when they got to the Shema, Hita Rav Elazar. Now, Rav Elazar was in the standing position. He reclines. And now v'zokei for Rabbi Shmuel. And now Rabbi Shmuel straightened up. So it comes out that Rabbi Elazar obviously was doing exactly like Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Shmuel was doing exact opposite of Beis Shammai. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said to Rabbi Shmuel, Yishmol achi, Yishmol my brother, em shalcha mashal mother. Let me give an example to what you just did, what it could be comparable to. Somebody said to him, you know, you have a beautiful full beard. It's beautiful. And in response to that, Amar lahem, but he replies to them, in spite, yeah, keneged ha-meshchisim, let they give it to the destroyers. In other words, since you said I have a beautiful beard, I'm going to cut it off. Right? So that's what you just did, is like this. Why? Af kach ato. So it is with you. Kals man shani zakuf. As long as I was standing atamota, you were lying down. Achshav keshenehi tesi. Now that I'm lying down, ato zakafta, you straightened up. Right? In other words, I was doing like you, and now you go get up. So it's like I was praising what you were doing. You were lying down. So I'm going to lie down just like you. And what do? You went and got up. Stop gas, you see me lying down, you're getting up. So, what's going to be the response? So, Yishmael responded, Amar lo, Ani asisi kidei v'hilo. I am doing it according to the Beis Hillel. V'ata asisa kidei v'Beis Shammai. And you were doing like Beis Shammai. As you were standing, and now you bedafka lied down. So you're clearly showing that you're bedafka going like Beis Shammai. So I was doing like Beis Hillel. But more than this, because really, according to Beis Hillel, Couldn't Rabbi Shmuel have stayed in the lying down position?
Sure.
Yes, but here's the next point. The law owed. And now this Elishema Yira Talmidim, but maybe some of our students will watch and see what you did. The Yikvu Alach L'Daras, and will establish that law for generations to come. In other words, you're standing up at night. It's coming to the Shema, all of a sudden you lie down. Now what are students of ours going
to
think?
You're supposed to lie.
He went out of his way to do like Beis Shammai. So I had to show that's not true. So while I was lying down, that's why Bedavka got up. To realize that now the students are going to wonder what's going on, and then they got to ask a few questions. In other words, if I was lying down, I stayed lying down. You're right. According to Beis Hillel, I could do that. But you bedafka lie down. So you bedafka were showing it's like Beis Shammai, and the students are going to watch and think bedafka, the halacha is like Beis Shammai. So I don't want people to make that mistake. Okay, so now the Gemara says, I kind of explained what the Gemara is going to now say. It. I kind of spoke it out. So now the Gemara is wondering, what was that second reason? My v'lo'od, what's this? And not only that. The first explanation seemed to be fine already. He said, you're doing like Beis Shammai, I'm doing like Beis Hillel. But here's the point. This is what he's adding. The chitam, even according to my, only the first response, I'm like Beis Hillel, you're like Beis Shammai. But you might have thought, what, this is what the second point is saying. V'chi tema Beis Hillel nami yisol mati. And if you're going to say, wait a minute, but Beis Hillel also allows you to lie down. So why'd you bother to get up? Right? So why'd you bother to get up? That's what you might be asking. So hani mili demata v'asavikar. That's true if you were lying down from the start. And now it's time to say Shema. So Bill says you could stay lying down. Okay? Avol kivan. Avol hocha. But here. Kiva that hashta avisa zakuf, but until now you were standing. Vahashta mota, and now you're bedavka lying down. So what are people going to think? Amri, people are going to say, who are watching, Shmami no kibe shami srilo. They're going to figure from here that both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah hold like Beis Shammai. Right? Had Rabbi Shmuel not straightened up, his remaining in the lying position and not countering what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did would seem to agree that you should lie down like Beis Shammai. And that's what he's saying. Shema Yira Talmud, and perhaps the students will see this, Ve'yikva l'chadars, and will establish the law for generations. So that's the point. You don't, you're right. If you hadn't done anything and I was lying down, okay, I would have lied down. I would have sat in the lying down position because I could do it in any position like Beis Hillel. But now I'm right in front of my face. You are bedafka doing it like Beis Shammai. There's no other way to explain what you did. You were standing and you bedafka lie down? So that means you bedafka say the laws like Beis Shammai. And if I don't do anything to counter that, they'll think I agree with that. And then that will come up with the erroneous halacha. Okay, that ends that, Brisa. Now we're going to see a dispute another regarding Beis Shammai's ruling in this issue. Okay, now, here's the question here. Okay, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. You can do it in any position. So now, here's the point. Like, but what's so bad if you do like Beis Shammai?
You can be a muscular.
Like, what's so bad? Like, what did I do wrong? Like, even if you go like Beis Shammai, are you not in the correct position? Well, Beis Hillel says you can be in any position. Right? So now the question is, okay, after you have the dispute, what if you want to do like Beis Shammai? Now, we already had what the Mishnah said about the rabbi who bedafka lied down and they would have gotten killed. But anyway, so it's going to kind of review this idea. Tani Rabbi Yecheskel, Rabbi Yecheskel taught the following v'raisa. If a person asa kidiri Beis Shammai, asa. If a person says the Shema according to the way Beis Shammai does, asa, he's concerned he performed the mitzvah. Because since Beis Hillel says you can do it in any position, right? So doing like Beis Shammai doesn't bedafka go against Beis Hillel. It's not against him. Beis Hillel says you don't have to lie down. You want to lie down? Okay, but you can do it any way you want. So if you like Beis Shammai, you did it. It's still okay. Kidivrei Beis Hillel. If you do like Beis Hillel, obviously, asa, that's okay because halacha generally follows Beis Hillel anyway. That is who the Brice of Rabbi Yecheskel teaches. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yosef, dissents, and he says, Asa kidivrei Shammai, if you like Beis Shammai, lo asav lo klum, you've done nothing. Okay, why? Because rabbinic law says you may not do like Beis Shammai by deliberately doing so. right? And you get a penalty for that. Because, remember, we said, here it is. The rabbis enacted this decree for fear that one acting this matter might cause others to believe that the halacha follows Beis Shammai. For one holding this erroneous belief might, if finding himself unable to stand in the morning aloud in the evening, might neglect recitation of the Shema altogether. Now think about it. If Beis Shammai says, you have to lie down when you say the Shema. So what if you can't lie down for whatever reason? Personal thing, I guess I can't say the Shema. Because you have to say the Shema lying down. And then what about in the daytime if the guy is lying down and it's hard for him to get up? He's not going to say the Shema. Beis Shammai is coming across, you have to say it lying down at night. You have to say it standing up in the day. You have to do that. Now, although if you do like Beis Shammai, you could technically say he fulfilled the mitzvah because you're doing it like Beis Shammai. It's not counter to Beis Hillel. Remember, Beis Hillel says you can do it any way you like. But if a person is going to think that the law is like Beis Shammai, so when there's opportunities, when he can't lie down at night, and when he can't stand up in the day, he won't do it, well, then that is totally incorrect. And that's why the rabbis penalize somebody who is going to dafka do it like Beis Shammai, then therefore we consider it like you have not fulfilled that wish. It's a rabbinic penalty.
Do you think that's what Beis Shammai meant?
Yes, that's what they mean.
Meant that if you can't lay down, you shouldn't do it.
That's right. You have to do it. That's the Torah saying. Say the Shema. Just like we say you have to say it in the first, when people are getting up. And after that time, you don't get credit for doing the mitzvah. Right? Let's put this. According to the base halacha, you have to say the morning Kriya Shema by the third hour of the day. If you say it afterwards, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of saying it properly. You have not. So just like Beis Hillel is saying, Beis Hillel said the words mean as you get up, and the time that you get up, at the time you go to sleep. So according to Beis Hillel, if you say it after 3 hours a day, have you fulfilled the mitzvah of saying Shema properly? No. You could do it, but it's only that reading from the Torah. It's not like you did the mitzvah of saying Shema. And therefore, if you miss the time, you could say it, but you haven't really done the mitzvah. So just like Beis Hillel is saying when it's after the time you haven't accomplished the mitzvah, to that degree, Beis Shammai is saying you don't do the right position, you have not followed the mitzvah. That's what the machlokas really is. So therefore, this is what, who is this? Rabbi Yosef says, no, not like you, Rabbi Cheskel. It's not if I do like Beis Shammai, well, it's okay because it's not counter to Beis Hillel. No, people will misunderstand and think that's exactly what you have to do. So therefore, we penalize the fellow, and he gets no credit for the mitzvah at all. Rabbinic penalty.
If you say it too early, it's the same.
If you say it too early, you don't get credit for the mitzvah either.
Yeah.
You don't get credit, so that's why we say it over sometimes.
It's more important to say it than to say it lying down.
Yeah.
It's more important that you actually say it.
According to Beis Hillel, you say it in any position to say it properly. According to Beis Shammai, if you're not in the right position, you can't say it.
So if we ended up following the law like Beis Shammai, we'd all have to lay down on the...
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah, oh, on the floor, I don't know, exactly. So clearly you see, we don't hold like Beis. Right. It wouldn't be so hard for Sfardim, because Sfardim, the old Sfardim, they were on the floor anyway. They're pretty much on the floor, or they were on, what do you call it, those benches, but you could really lie down easily on that, so that would work. But we don't hold like Beis Shammai. And now we're going to show you a Mishnah that will support this idea. That what? That when it's a machlokas, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, and you do like Beis Shammai, it's wrong. And we get penalized. It's not. What we learned in the Mishnah, now we're traveling to another end of the world. We're traveling now to the laws of Sukkah. We're going to talk about a person who has a very small Sukkah. He's in the Sukkah, but his table is out of the Sukkah. Remember, to have a kosher Sukkah, it doesn't have to be very big at all. So what if he's in the Sukkah and his table is outside the Sukkah? Now, think about this. Let's say this is the sukkah. My sukkah ends here, and I'm just inside the sukkah. And here I am. That's all the space I have. My table is outside the sukkah. You're going to say, how can the table be outside the sukkah? He's got three walls. One, two, three. And this one's open. It's kosher sukkah, three walls. I'm sitting here, but space is tight. Table is here. Well, let's think about this. In theory, can you fulfill a mitzvah? Yes. What do? I take the food... and I bring it into the sukkah.
Don't lean forward.
That's right, exactly. Don't lean forward. But in theory, what's the problem? Just there's no where it says you have to have your utensils in the sukkah. You got it in the sukkah. But obviously, if the table's here, you could, by mistake, do that. Okay, that's the issue. Question is this, do you fulfill the mitzvah if you're eating in the sukkah in this manner? So, Ditan, we learn in the Mishnah. Mi shahaya rosho veruba v'sukkah. Person whose most of his body and most of his head is in the sukkah. And that's what you need. You don't have to have your entire body in the sukkah. If most of your body and most of your head is in the sukkah, you fulfill the mitzvah. However, shulchano b'sol chabayis, but the table is in the house. Clearly not in the sukkah. Okay, and you're eating your meal. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, you're eating your meal and all the food you're digesting and chewing is in the sukkah. So, beishamai poslim, beishamai rule, you cannot eat in such a sukkah. And if you do, you don't get credit. Ubeisilo makshir. And Beis Hillel says it's kosher. He could eat in this sukkah. Okay? Now, interesting here. The two clauses of this Mishnah appear to be contradictory. The first clause, one who had his head and most of the time the sukkah, implies a sukkah large enough to contain a table as well, but with an occupant who wishes to eat from a table located outside the sukkah. In such a case, the sukkah will certainly be valid. That's not the case here. The dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, however, will concern the permissibility of eating during sukkahs from a table located outside the sukkah.
So posling is the eating, it's not the sukkah.
Okay. The Mishnah's second clause, however, Beis Shammai rule the sukkah invalid, but Beis Hillel rule invalid implies that it is the very validity of the sukkah that is at issue. It was the sukkah kosher issue. Hear the differences. According to this implication, the Mishnah speaks not of a large sukkah of one too small to hold a table. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree over the validity of a sukkah of such diminutive size. The Gemara in Sukkah takes note of this contradiction and states that the Mishnah, in fact, alludes to two distinct disputes. One concerns the validity of a small sukkah, the other the permissibility of eating from a table located outside the sukkah. Beis Hillel permit one to do so, but Beis Shammai forbid it on the basis of a rabbinic decree. The rabbis fear that one would unthinkingly lean forward over the table while eating. They were violating the commandment to eat inside the sukkah. Okay, the incident that follows in the Mishnah concerns the latter dispute. The latter dispute. Okay.
So the eating, not the sukkah.
Yeah. So now, Amr Lahem, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, listen, I know we get an argument, but I have, precedent here. Masa, there was a story, Shehochu Zikne Beis Shammai, Vezikne Beis Hillel, the elders of the school of Hillel, Zul Shammai, they went, Levaker, Shev Yochanan Ben Hachoranis, they went to visit him. Matsu, and they found him, Sherosh Varuba Vesukkah. They find him mainly in the Sukkah, Vishulchan Vesukkah, and his table was in the house. And he still ate from the table that was located outside the sukkah. Now, how did people respond to him? Well, they didn't. They didn't say anything. So, you know, and obviously in those days, if a rabbi did something wrong, you called him on it. So what does that mean? Evidently, the elders of Beis Shammai didn't say anything. So it must be that, you got a mistake. Must be Beis Shammai holds it's okay. Because they didn't say anything. Amar Lahem, so the school of Shammai replied to Hillel, Misham Raya? You think that's a proof? You didn't tell us the whole story. Afheim Amrulo, they indeed did respond to him and said, Imke, Hayisa Noag, if this is the way you've always conducted yourself with such a puny sukkah, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah mimeimecha. You never did the mitzvah sukkah at all in your life. Aha, so we see now, listen to this. So what does that mean? We see that according to Beis Shammai, okay, one who follows the view of Beis Hillel is not considered to fulfill the mitzvah.
Wow.
Right? Okay, again, what did the people of Shammai say? The people of Shammai said, if this is the way you eat, you have never fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay? So what does that mean? It seems that Beis Shammai holds, if you go like Beis Hillel, you haven't followed the mitzvah at all. Well, if Beis Shammai feels that according, if you do like Beis Hillel, you haven't done the mitzvah, what's Beis Hillel going to say if you go like Beis Shammai? In our case, remember, over here, Beis Hillel is being lenient and says you could eat in such a sukkah. And now we're saying the real story is, the Sufi Shem said, if that's what you're doing, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Aye, but why not? You know, I still ate it here. No. You're doing it wrong, and you haven't done the mitzvah, period. So if you see, that's how Beis Shammai looks at Beis Hillel when they feel Beis Hillel's doing the wrong thing. Let's come to our machlokes, because I'm about saying Shema. How would Beis Hillel feel about Beis Shammai if they're doing it the other way? So therefore it follows that one who follows Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Right? So therefore you see that is the halacha, that if you're going to do like Beis Shammai by lying down, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah at all, because you're going against the rabbinic decree. You're not supposed to do that, because it caused people to make that mistake. So therefore, you see that really is the halacha, that Beis Hillel, that if you do like Beis Shammai, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah at all. That's if you bedavka are doing it like Beis Shammai. Remember, if you happen to be lying down at night and it's too hard for you to get up, Beis Hillel would agree you could say it. But if you're bedavka doing it like Beis Shammai, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay, well, not quite fit, and let's see how far this goes. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, he says a statement even further. Asay kedivrei Beis Shammai, if you're going to do like Beis Shammai, and you're going to lie down deliberately, chayav misa. You're chayav misa. Now, it means obviously bidei shamayim, not in a court. Court can't kill you for that. But God will kill you. As we already said from the Mishnah, Ditznan, we already learned in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Tarvin, Rabbi Tarvin says, Ani Ayishi Baba Derech, I was going on the road, Vitesi Likrivish Beis Shammai, and Bedavka lie down on the road to be like Beis Shammai, Vesikanti Beatzmi, and I therefore endangered myself because of the bandits who might have attacked me as I lied there. And what did the Mishnah say? Amar Lo, they said, Kedai Ayisa Allah, indeed, it would have been fitting for harm to have come to you. Shavar Tal Dire Beis Hillel, did you have passed the words of Beis Hillel? So we see that if you follow Beis Shammai when he argues with Beis Hillel, and we rule like Beis Hillel, you are chayv miso bidei shamayim, and that's the conclusion of this sugya. So the conclusion of the sugya is, we pass like Beis Hillel, you could say Shema in any position, although we'll modify that later on, a few blot from now. If you're walking on the road, yeah, you can say Shema, but when you say the first line, you should stop walking. Or let's say you're working, okay, you don't have to go down from the tree you're at, but you got to stop for a minute. But basically, we hold like Beis Hillel, any position is fine. And if you bedaf, go out of your way to do it like Beis Shammai, that is, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Now, question?
Yeah, so Shammai wasn't like a heretic, right? Like a lot of times we'll say we don't hold by this rabbi, but we don't go to the extreme and say if you do like him, you deserve death by Shemayim. So isn't it insulting to him? And
well, no,
it's to go to that extent. It's one thing to say we don't hold by him, and that's it.
So you got to follow the rule. If there's a ruling, there's a ruling, right?
It's like a Zakim Amri.
Yeah, like a Zakim. You go to, let's say, the big machlokes is what a law will be. Sanhedrin paskins, this is the law. This is the law. You're a big scholar, you feel differently. Too bad. Sanhedrin Paskin, this is the law. So this is the law.
We learned this a while ago. Somebody is saying, telling people to do something different than what the Sanhedrin...
Right, so that's saying. Not good. You don't
but
do
like... He isn't like that, is he?
Wait, sure, yeah. Why not?
Do we consider him like that? Or we just say we don't hold by him?
Well, that's because they have their opinions, right? So again, once the Baskel said this is the law, then this is the law. Nobody can light their Hanukkah candles, 8 candles on the first day. You can't do that. And even Beis Shammai can't
but
do
we
that.
We don't say this, you know.
Well, no, you cannot contravene. Now, there was a period until the Baskel came that Beis Shammai said, well, we're doing what we do. You do what you do, we do what we do. And the Baskel said the law's like Beis Hillel. The law's like Beis Hillel. The law's like Beis Hillel. That's all there is to it. Now, we can argue all day long in logic. And Beis Shammai can all day long say, well, really, I still feel you could lie down. You have to lie down. But he may very well, you know, start davening lying down. But they ain't going to stand up and then lie down. Got to follow the laws of Beis Hillel. That's the law. You got to follow the law. Okay. Now we can start the next.
So at the time when they were there, that was became the law. While they were right there, they never, they probably never conceded and went.
This went on for a while. This was we had Hillel, Shammai in their schools. Yeah. I don't know the exact years, but for years there was machlokas. Then the Baskol says we're going to have to hold Beis Hillel. That's it. At that point, then there's nothing to say. That's the law.
Today, if you're lying in bed, and
happen to be lying in bed at night, basically whatever position you're in, do it. But you should not in lehalacha. Let's say you were standing for marv.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we'd sit down. We don't lie down. Sitting down is not lying down. So you could sit down. That's not a problem. But if anybody in this shul would decide at marv to lie down on the floor of the Shema, we would prop him up and say, you cannot do that. Now, if he was lying down before Marv and stayed lying down, we let him stay
lying
down.
You can't lie down in the shul anyway. So it's
I don't think I'm doing this wrong. So sometimes, let's say you do an early Marv, okay? So then you know you got to repeat the Shema later. And sometimes I don't repeat the Shema until I do the bedtime Shema, and I say the whole thing. But by that point, I'm already lying down.
So you were, but you weren't bedafka lying down. You went to bed, you went to lie down, and they say, oh, I have to say the Shema. Okay, I'm lying down, and I'm saying a bunch of other things in Kriya Shema, so I'm going to say this too, lying down. But it's not that you bedafka went out of your way to lie down and say that.
Yeah,
that's okay. Okay, let's just start the next mission. It's two lines, and it'll take us to the bottom of the page. Okay, now we're talking about, so far we're talking about the Shema. Now we're broadening this out to the blessings before the Shema and the blessings after the Shema. That's this next mission, this next topic. Bishachar, in the morning, Mevorach Shteinufanayah, there's two blessings after Borchu, two blessings before the Shema, Vachasech, and one afterwards, as we very well know, Yotzer Or and Avaraba before, and Gaal Yisrael afterwards. Uba Erev, and in the evening, Mevorach Shteim Lefanei, you make two brachas beforehand, as we do by Marv, Ushteim Lechem, two afterwards. And I know we do four, but really there's only two. This will be the discussion going on a little bit later. But basically it's two brachas, two brachas. Now, let's talk about these brachas. Now, the two brachas that are following the Shema, Achas Arucha, one is quote unquote a long bracha, va'achas Katsara, and one is a short bracha. Okay, so which is that? So the long blessing is the first one after Shema, Emes Vemuna. That's long. It's like a page and a half, right? The bracha Vashkivenu, that's kind of short. That's a short one. So simple meaning right now is one has a lot more words than the other. Okay, fine. Now, Makom Sharmila Harich, in a place where the rabbi said you should say a lengthy blessing, Einu Rishay Lakatz, you can't make it a shorter blessing. If the rabbi said Lakatz or make it a shorter blessing, Einu Rishay Lakatz, you can't make it a lengthy blessing. What does that mean? Let's say in a place where the sages said to recite a lengthy blessing, is the blessing true and faithful, and they made it a brief. So if you're going to make it shorter, going to cut it down to size, you're not allowed to do that. Can't cut it down. They say you keep it long, you got to keep it long. If it's short, you don't make it bigger. Now, what if they say lachtom? What if they say you conclude the blessing with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, whatever? That's the chasima. Ein Rishay Shalachem. You can't omit that ending blessing. You can't end it. And a place where they say Shalom Lachtam, when they say not to have a conclusion to it, such as a bracha on a mitzvah, you say Baruch Shem Melchom Hashem Hashem Mitzvana Al Natil Asulov. That's it. That's very short. We've got Baruch Shem Melcholam Al Natil Asulov Al, the four species that go together with it, and all the amazing things that happen with this bracha, and we're showing our faith in Hashem, blah, 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 blah. Blessed are you, God, King of the Universe, that told us to take a loaf. Okay, so now you've made an ending. In other words, it's very short. It's not considering it ends. It's like the one-liner is a one-liner. But a long one, it starts, Baruch Atah Hashem, and now you go lots of space, and then you end up, Baruch Hashem. That means to conclude. So when it says not to conclude, therefore, don't conclude it and make another Berucha to Hashem. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know, that's the end of the Mishnah. We'll see, the Gemara's going to discuss all these issues over here. So now we say two brachas before the Shema. So Mayim Avarach, what two blessings you say before the morning Shema? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yoshaya, Rav Yaakov and Rav Yoshaya says, okay, we know this, Yotzer, well, first bracha is Yotzer or Uvorei Choshech. You fashion the light and you create the darkness. Okay? Gemara has not yet discussed what's the second bracha over there. So now, the question is like this. Lema, why do we use such a wording? Why don't we say Yotzer or Uvorei Noga? Why don't we say instead, who forms the light and creates twilight?
Noga okay. Is twilight?
Yeah, Noga means twilight. Okay, okay. Now, what's that? Which is a more fitting praise of Hashem. Why? Because darkness is frightening and unpleasant, and it's used in the Torah as usually suffering. Night is always a negative concept. So it's not fitting. You're praising God by saying He creates something that's so unpleasant. So why don't we just say Noga, which is twilight, which really isn't twilight, but it's going to be a euphemism for darkness. In other words, let's say darkness in a nicer way. You know, darkness is, everyone has a negative connotation, dark, dark, scary, this and that. So use a word that doesn't sound so scary. Now, the word Noga refers to the half-light of twilight or dawn when light is mixed with darkness. Alternatively, it refers to light that emanates from a secondary source, such as moonlight, which only reflects the light of the sun. At any rate, though, the word describes light that shines during moments of darkness. Right, was therefore used as a euphemism for darkness or night. So why don't we use a nicer term? That's the question. More answers. Kidichsiv kamrinan. We say it as it's written, we say it. Because if you look in the Pasuk where this comes from, we're really quoting a Pasuk in Yeshaya. In Yeshaya, it says those words. Yotzer or uvorei choshech. Here it is. Here's the Pasuk in Yeshaya. When he's describing Hashem's oneness, he says, Yotzer or uvorei choshech, oseh shalom uvorei ra. So we're following the scripture. If the Navi said it, we're not going to do it different than the Navi. The Navi said ra, we say ra. Because a lot of the prayers that the rabbis instituted was to conform to what you already find in previous prophetic texts, because they know how to say things. Ah, but look at the whole pasuk. Yotzer uvorei choshech, oseh shalom. Uvorei ra. That's what the Navi says. What do we say in the morning? Yotzer uvorei choshech. Oseh shalom uvorei.
Hakol.
Ah, so the Gemara is saying, if we're going with the pasuk, elamayata, so let's look at the rest. Oseh shalom uvorei ra. The rest of us says uvorei ra. Mi kamrin, do we follow that rule? Kidichsi, we go as it's written. So, in other words, the question is, it's not consistent. If you don't want to use Noga, which is a nicer term, because the Navi used Choshech, so why did you say Ra when the Navi said Hakol? Why did you say Hakol when the Navi said Ra? So Eloksi, but rather it says Ra, it says, this is part of the question, Vekarin and Hakol. And we say Hakol, which is a nicer term. So let's understand. You're already using a nicer term. You're already changing the words from the Navi. Right. So already change words from the Navi in the second clause, so change in the first clause to say Noga. And that's the end of the question. Hachanami, so that's what we're asking. Lema Noga Lishnamalia. Why don't you say Noga, which is a nicer term? Okay. Ella Amar Rav will end with this, but Rav explains this is the reason. Kidei lahasker midas yom ba'layla umidas layla ba'yom. Okay, we word the blessing as we do in order to mention the characteristic of day by night and the characteristic of night by day. In other words, the characteristic of day is light and the characteristic of night is darkness. Therefore, we can't replace the word darkness with twilight, since we must speak of that time which is unequivocally a nighttime characteristic. In other words, Noga is not so clear it means night. It's a euphemism. But we want to, and you'll see why later why we want to do this. okay? But we want to do that. We want to mention the attribute of day at night and the attribute of night and day. So therefore, I'm saying Yotzer or Uvore Choshech. That's the point. We want to make it clear that we're mentioning the virtues of night as well as day. Why? To show that Hashem is in charge of everything. Don't think Hashem's only in charge of the daytime. He's not in charge of the night. We want to say both things. In the daytime, we even talk about the nighttime. And in the nighttime, we even talk about the daytime to make it clear that God's in charge of everything at all the time. That's the answer. There's going to be questions on that. We'll leave it at that. We'll probably review again from those two top lines. Okay, Shkoyach, up to Yud Aleph on base.